Hey, you guys, welcome to Spotlight on Maryland. It's Gina Crash, your host for the next half hour or so. Thanks to producer Greg Carpenter behind the scenes, or we wouldn't be talking to you. And today's interview topic is all about the evolution of Port Discovery Children's Museum here in Baltimore, including new exhibits, community impact, and future vision. And we're joined by Carter Polakoff, President and CEO, and Rachel Demma, Vice President of Learning and Community Impact at Port Discovery in Baltimore. After the museum celebrated its 25th anniversary last year, it's now embarking on a transformative five-year, $16 million master plan that's set to completely reimagine what play, learning, and discovery can look like for Maryland's children and families. And just last week, Port Discovery opened two cutting-edge new exhibits, Galactic Builders and Skies, and they are just the beginning of a bold new chapter for Port Discovery, which stands as a beacon for experiential learning, inclusivity, and joyful community connection. We'll dive into what makes these new exhibits so meaningful, how Port Discovery's At Play Learning Institute and evolving programs are impacting families statewide, and what's next in this ambitious transformation. We'll also explore the museum's new partnerships and the playful learning philosophy that underpins everything they do. Welcome, Carter and Rachel.
Wow, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning.
How's that for an introduction? But is it kind of weird to hear like what you do read back to you in a sense?
It's exciting. We're smiling the whole time you're saying it. We're
right?
Like, yes, we're doing it.
We do that every day in Baltimore. It's incredible. And I love that the Spotlight on Maryland is on Port Discovery Children's Museum. And we couldn't do it without the two of you. And as we mentioned earlier, two new exhibits just opened in October, Galactic Builders and Skies. And what inspired these new spaces? And how do they, this is a two-parter. And then how do they represent the museum's priorities today? And Carter, this question's for you, but feel free, Rachel, to jump in anytime you're inspired to do so.
Thank you. Well, Port Discovery, as we just said, has been around a little bit over 25 years. And right before COVID, the center of the museum did get revamped, but many people didn't get to see it because of COVID. And so when Rachel and I took over a couple years ago, we had this beautiful center of the museum, but all of the legacy exhibits around were really sort of aging out. Mm-hmm. And so we put together a strategic plan and really looked at, you know, what ages were we serving? What ages should we be serving better? What abilities were we really focused on and learning patterns? And, you know, was there enough STEM? Was there enough recycling programs or literature? And so we really kind of honed in on what we wanted to do. And the first two exhibits that came about were what opened this week, Galactic Builders and Skies. And Galactic Builders is really about STEM learning, and it's space inspired, but it's more about tinkering and playing and testing your theories. And we watched families this weekend. I think they built the same rocket 17 different times to try to get it to shoot the right way, which is exactly what we wanted.
Right.
So it really challenges them to think like scientists and engineers. And then the other space, Skies, is really the counterpoint to that. It's a low sensory space. It's calming. There's a forest in there and blissful sunrise. And it's where you go to kind of catch your breath and might have some quieter play. You might read a book in there or snuggle up in a corner.
But that sounds like my speed. Yeah. I'm already snuggling up thinking about it.
Yeah. Everybody who walks in there like can't wait to just grab a pillow and, you know,
yes.
It's really wonderful.
That's so cool. And how long have the two of you been a team together working at Port Discovery? Because you really are like a team that's on the road and together taking this act on the road and promoting it because you work so well together.
We started about 4 years ago. Actually, to this week, we had we had predecessors that had been there for over 20 years, and they hired both of us kind of around the same time. And I think it took us a couple months to like figure out where are we going with this museum and what are we doing. And Rachel and I both have very different strengths and abilities, but I think that we've sort of created this perfect puzzle together, and we have the same vision, and we're both like extremely passionate about early childhood and play and playful learning.
Yeah, I mean, we landed together at the museum and just hit the ground running with really thinking about how to thoughtfully implement, you know, a long-term vision for the museum that would be transformational. And we're embarking on it and getting into the midst of it now. So it's a really exciting time.
It really, really is. And, you know, both of you being, you know, female leaders is really cool and inspiring for girls to see that, you know, in the two of you. And the press has been amazing. Like, I'm seeing all the news channels are doing, you know, pieces of kids running around. And it's such an interactive, I know we're on the radio now, but it's such a visual too that we do encourage people to go and check it out because you really have to see it to really be part of the magic.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. I just want to say it's beautifully designed. It's thoughtfully designed. It's based on research and a lot of expertise went into it.
For sure. And how do Galactic Builders and Skies, you know, fit into Port Discovery's larger evolution as the museum celebrates its 25th anniversary and as it launches that $16 million master plan? When you think about that number on the page, that's pretty impressive.
I mean, I have no doubt that we're going to get there. We have a plan that's really mapped out what the spaces are going to look like. It's a little bit of a Lego move. So, you know, we had to open these two spaces to make room for other. I think for us, it's a mindset that we're creating a museum for families and not, you know, it's not just a children's museum. It's really how do we look at the whole family and whatever that means, you know, that can mean your grandparent, caregiver.
Sure.
And so, you know, how do we intentionally add seating into spaces? How do we intentionally provide resources for caregivers, or how do we make sure that the museum is accessible? And I think that's how Rachel and I and the rest of our senior team really look at the museum now. It's one thing just to focus on the child, but if a parent comes into the museum or aunt, or, you know, as a generic term, and they aren't able to experience the museum in a positive way, then it's really not a great experience for the whole family. And so I think we all look at it, the whole experience, through that lens now. And I think it's a great way to approach the day. But then these new exhibits, as we unfold them, they are really targeted at different parts of either, you know, different ways of learning or accessibility. And I don't know if you want to add to that, but it's more like this space might be great for a three-year-old, but we have families coming that are 95 years old to infant to 10-year-old. And
right.
How do you make sure that everybody is having an experience in the museum?
That's a really good question. So, Rachel, yeah, maybe you could speak to that a little bit about how you try to accomplish that anyway.
Well, I mean, we did a really extensive analysis of the flow of activity in the museum. Carter kind of alluded to it, but really everything down to, you know, how long are people spending in certain spaces in the museum? What's the age range of the people spending time in that space? And then we talked a lot to our visitors, our stakeholders, our partners, and we heard a lot about, you know, what people were looking for out of an experience at Port Discovery. And I think two things really rose to the top, which is what these new exhibits hopefully are representing as our visitors grow to love and get familiar with them. And that's, we needed some spaces for slightly older children to explore in the museum. And so that's where Galactic Builders kind of got its start in thinking about engineering, and Carter mentioned all this STEM problem solving, and really thinking you know, intentionally about what's going to draw a slightly older child in. When we say older, it's really like in the 7 to 10 age range. And what can we provide? The exhibit still has lots for younger visitors to explore as well. So, but, it, you know, what can we do to really gear towards some older skills and learning that that age range is interested in, it. And again, engaging parents in the space as well. And then Skies came out of a push to really think about a quiet space in the museum. And we're really excited too. Skies also includes our first sensory calming space. It's a room, the Grove, that's dedicated just to quiet time in the museum. I mean, life itself, not to mention Port Discovery, is hectic. There's a lot going on. That's great if you have a sensory seeking child. If you, you know, are part of a group in the museum where you're looking for a slightly more low sensory experience, that's what we designed Skies for. So in addition to all the quiet spaces and nooks, we have the Grove as a really dedicated space in the museum. We also have a lot of resources in that space, you know, for calming sensory sensitivity. So we're really excited to introduce that to our visitors.
I love that you've thought of everything. And I think any parents that are listening are going to feel a sense of like, oh, relief, kind of like, oh, good. I thought my child aged out of Port Discovery, or they need a quiet space, or you really have thought. And not to mention the research experiences. You hear that about adults always want to have experiences these days. So this is all in line with, I think, the way that people are evolving. And so is the museum in that way.
I think we've also taken a really hard look at how we operate And, you know, there are special mornings now that are sensory, you know, times where the museum, the lights are down and the sounds are down and it's a quiet space. And so we have dedicated hours for those sensory moments where we need to...
Sensory-friendly
Sundays. I couldn't pull the word. And also, you know, the staff training, the professional development, we've devoted a lot of resources to that. And also, our schedule is going to be new. There will no longer be groups on Fridays. And so, you know, there was always a reputation that we were jamming groups in all during the week and it was so crowded. Well, you know, on Fridays and Mondays, we're now open and we'll have very little groups. So I think there's going to be a change of flow coming also. And I think that's going to be really a welcome change. And we're going to try it out for a couple years and see if that really helps people feel that this is more of their museum on a daily basis.
Yeah, I love that you're both so committed to that continued evolution and, you know, listening to the people that come to the museum. And also what's cool is, you know, Port Discovery is really becoming even more of a evolving community hub, you know, for kids all across Maryland. Talk about that, if you could, a little bit about how that's part of your vision, too, because that's cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll jump in. In addition to all the incredible changes happening inside the museum, you're absolutely right. We're really thinking about our external footprint and our impact and our ability to really connect meaningfully with our visitors and communities. So, gosh, about 3 years ago now, we started thinking, you know, about the evolving early childhood landscape here in Maryland. We are a state, thankfully, that is still really committed to investing in young children and thinking about high quality childcare and universal pre-K. And we started asking the question, you know, how would a children's museum position itself in this emerging landscape in a really meaningful way? And so we started by talking to a lot of people again and held a series of listening roundtables and really tried to connect with people and think about how they saw Port Discovery and how we could help, you know, kind of nudge that into more of an interactive, intentional community presence. And out of that, our At Play Learning Institute was born. It's really about positioning the museum as a community anchor and a resource, thinking about us as, we call ourselves a teaching museum, so that's a play on words of like a teaching hospital.
Right, right.
And a learning lab. And so really thinking about all the different groups, partners, and stakeholders that want to connect with the museum. The At Play Learning Institute has a number of components, but our two core programs are Communities at Play and Professionals at Play. And Communities at Play is just what it sounds like. We connect with community-based partners to offer a series of workshops that really invites caregivers into understanding, you know, what is playful learning about and how can you use that in your parenting practice, your positive parenting practices. And so caregivers come together in a cohort model, so they come as groups. So we're also building kind of peer networks and supports for parents to rely on one another. And they come together and do a series of workshops and then, of course, spend time in the museum. And every family that participates receives a year-long membership to the museum so that they can keep on learning and playing with us. And that was sort of the core of our At Play Learning Institute. And then out of that grew Professionals at Play, which is much more geared towards thinking about, you know, the early childhood system in Maryland and how can we, with our expertise, hopefully, in playful learning and purposeful play, connect with the whole range of professionals in our early childhood community in the state, everyone from childcare providers to classroom pre-K teachers and school leaders and all kinds of folks, and really connecting and sharing that message about why playful learning is so important as children are growing.
Yeah.
And,
absolutely. And then how do you, I know you serve Baltimore City, of course, you know, it's your backyard, but like, how do you incorporate the entire state? This seems like a huge task, but you do it so well. So I know that's Rachel's department as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of our ambitious vision together when we were thinking about, you know, how to kind of reinvent the personality of Port Discovery. I always say we were having a little bit of a personality crisis, and you know, we didn't want to be seen just as an entertainment venue, or it's certainly a place for fun, but we are research driven. We're intentional about the work we do, and we wanted to really grow the impact of the museum in ways that could be felt meaningfully across the state. And the At Play Learning Institute was the way to do that. We have a wonderful partnership with Judy Centers, which are unique to the state of Maryland, and their early childhood resource hubs that are positioned in communities where there are schools with high concentrations of low-income students. So we also love that connection, that we're really meeting a need. We connect with Judy Centers to provide our Communities at Play program, and that helps us scale outward and really be intentional in the way we're growing the program across the state, because Judy Centers are everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? That's really cool. And that's got to be so rewarding for you too, Carter.
Well, I was going to say also, in addition to, I think Rachel and I spent a lot of time really listening to the funders in the community who are also really interested in, you know, the future of our families and sort of, and also what was the state focused on. And there was a real crisis in, you know, how we support young children and the early childhood workforce. And so we're really answering that call. We definitely didn't come up with this because we thought it was a fun idea. You know, we really were listening to the current administration and, you know, MSDE. And, you know, they were saying to us, like, can you sort of take this slice of the pie and really double down on it? And I think that worked out really well for us, because obviously playful learning is something that we were passionate about. But then to really sort of take that by the reins and start running with it. And we found that there really was a need for it, and that community partners and nonprofits were really coming to us to say, hey, can you really help us here? And so it just the timing was great. Unfortunately, there is a crisis in Maryland around this issue. And so, you know, to be able to support that feels really good as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rachel, your background, you know, where you tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are now, because you're so knowledgeable in that area, but maybe as inspiration for any other educators out there that might think, like, how can I make an impact in my community? Like, how did you end up, you know, just falling a job like this immediately?
Yeah.
What was your path?
You know? Well, it was a long and winding road, but I'm very happy where I landed. I have a background in research and policy, all with a concentration in early childhood education. So I do bring that passion to the work of the museum. And, you know, being able just to take the lenses of research-based practice and understanding, you know, how that can be applied in a museum setting to support informal learning, and also, you know, building community capacity with all of our external partners. It just was a really natural fit for me to bring that into the museum and start applying it to the work that Port Discovery does.
Yeah, and I know a lot of it is research-based, but are there days where the two of you are at work and you see it in action happening where you're like, oh, this worked. Yep, they were right. This is right. Like, you witness it firsthand, and it's a little less scientific and more like they're having a good time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. A lot of our day is about joy and whimsy and fun. And I mean, that is a goal of ours too, by the way. Like, if we talk about awe and wonder, and we're actually designing an exhibit about joy and how do you sort of infuse joy into your life? How do you inspire others to feel joyful? And I mean, we're embarking on a huge project about joy and gratitude.
Love that.
And love and happiness. And so, you know, we believe in that, the power of what that brings to a community. And so, yeah, over the next 2 years, actually, we'll be unrolling a whole exhibit about that, because there is the education talk. And then there's just the idea of a child walking into a room with this look on their face of just sheer excitement. And like, that's what we love the most, you know, watching a little kid giggling away or playing with a child they never have met before. I mean, that's really what it's all about to us.
It really, really is. Mm-hmm. And so what are some things that you wish our listeners knew about Port Discovery that we haven't talked about yet? And then you both get a moment to answer that, because you both come from, you know, a perspective together, working together, but then also your unique backgrounds that, you know, contribute to your different answers.
I think there's a lot of thoughts about Port Discovery. People haven't been there in a long time. And, you know, museums evolve as the needs of the community evolve. So it's always been a wonderful museum, and it's always served the community the right way at the right time. But it has evolved and it has changed. And we have been very intentional about how we staff the museum and the spaces that we're creating. And so if people haven't been to the museum in the couple years, it's not the museum you saw 10 years ago. And we really would encourage people to come back, bring their grandchildren, bring their nieces and nephews. We do a lot of community programming. We support the military. You know, we have
That's
a whole
incredible.
Night. Yeah, we have a whole night next Yay. Saturday for just military families where mm-hmm. they get to come to the museum out of the USO for free. And, you know, when those families come, they've never been, a lot of them, into the city before. They've never met one another. They're new to the community. And so bringing those kind of programs together, I feel like sometimes people don't realize that we're doing all of that behind the scenes. So that's one thing I want people to understand. Mm-hmm. The other thing I want people to understand is that we do have a parking garage right next to the museum. And there's always this myth there's nowhere to park. And there is a parking garage right next to us.
That's so important.
I know. That,
you know, because there's the running joke. I think it's a meme that's out there somewhere where it's like, when I ask what's the parking situation, that's my first step in getting out of doing something. You
that's
know
right.
what I mean?
That's
and,
right.
And that's what they're saying.
There's like this whole myth. There's no parking at Port Discovery. So I like everybody to know there's actually a garage attached to Port Discovery. You do have to walk around the block, but we're in a city, and that's how it is when you live in a city.
Absolutely. But, can't all be on top of itself or you wouldn't be able to expand the exhibits. Yes,
that's right.
Exactly. Anything you wanted to add to that too, Rachel, some things?
Yeah, well, you mentioned a lot that touches on accessibility, and you mentioned inclusivity, Gina,
yes.
at the top of this, and mm-hmm. I just want to underscore that, you know, Port Discovery is such a joyful, wonderful place because of its inclusivity. And my favorite thing is to walk around the museum and see those interactions. I won't sound like a boring researcher and say peer interactions between children that wouldn't, you know, normally come into contact with one another. But, you know, meeting new friends.
Yes.
And I think, you know, particularly now, you know, seeing families and kids connect in an environment that brings them together where they might not necessarily have that opportunity otherwise, and, you know, without a space like Port Discovery. And it's just, it's heartwarming, but it's also inspiring, and it just leaves you with a sense of hope and joy every day to see people enjoying themselves together in a space that's safe and welcoming and engaging, and one that we can all be so proud of.
That's absolutely wonderful. And when I think of sensory things, do you also accommodate kids and children and families with autism that are on the spectrum? Is there, I'm sure there's been some intentional thought in that as well, including them to be able to enjoy the experience in a way that they are comfortable.
Absolutely. And that's part of course, some of the background of the Skies space in the museum being a low sensory environment. We think about the neurodiversity of the kids and families we serve every day, and are always thinking about how to better meet the needs of kids, not just with autism, but across a whole spectrum of abilities. But particularly with autism, that's where our sensory work really plays in. And I should mention, we're not the experts on everything. So we love our partners and our experts. And even as we were designing the new exhibits, we created advisory committees of people, you know, in our city and resources, partners like the Kennedy Krieger Institute, you know, people that can really help us think about this critically in a way that's going to inform the design and implementation of programs in these spaces that will really meet the needs of families.
Yeah,
so we think about that a lot.
Sorry, just cut you mm-hmm. off. I might add that we've also been thinking about how, you know, adults who may be sort of learning, who mm-hmm. might enjoy play from certain schools, St. Elizabeth's and Kenny Krieger, are visiting and using the museum now, as we serve all ages, right? And so there may be, you know, someone who has a child who's 30 who may still, you know, be playing at an earlier learning level.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so, you know, we've tried to really make the museum welcome for them as well.
But
it's really a place where we're trying to sort of meet people where they are.
That's really, really important, because I think when you hear the nature of in the name, it's Children's Museum, you think, oh, well, that doesn't apply to my child. But you've thought of every scenario and made it welcoming for them, which
we're trying.
It's beautiful. It really is. And I know you've got some, we're in our final minutes and everything, so I'll let you guys use that time to the way you think you can best do that. But I know there's some new exhibit highlights too, like have we talked yet about the port themed activity table?
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. So we have partnered, obviously the center of our museum really is a ode to the shipping and the port of Baltimore and Maryland.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a city unto itself.
It
and
is.
So they approached us a year ago and sort of talked about a partnership. And so we're working on a very large, it's not a train table because the port is really shipping trains, cars, trucks, and so much more, but it's an activity table. So that will come probably early December up. It will be up on our third floor, and we're really excited about it because it's, and it will be a replica of the port. So there will be four different areas. You'll see the sea girt and all the different things. I think kids are going to absolutely love it. And I mean, I can't wait to play with it myself.
They're going to flip out. There's so much history
it's
here.
It's going to be really cool.
And it's a cool interactive way for them to learn it. So anything else, Rachel, that you know, you're super excited about in this, you know, new era of the Port Discovery Children's Museum that you and Carter are so, you know, pivotal in making all this growth happen? You know, is there something else we haven't talked about that you want to make sure it gets some attention?
Sure. I will just make a plug for our another installation that just went into Port Discovery recently, which is our Lego play space.
Yay!
And yeah, not only, of course, is it all about Lego, we have Duplos for our younger visitors in the space. It's actually tied to a national initiative that is supported by the Lego Foundation. And very soon we'll be rolling out a citywide competition because there is a theme to our space. And it's about making Baltimore a more playful city for all of us to live in and enjoy together. So we'll be asking kids to use their Lego builds to show us how to redesign spaces and activities in our city that just make life more playful and joyful, as we were saying before. So it's a really cool space. It, you know, connects the museum to a national network of other children's museums and science museums through the Lego Foundation and their Playful Learning Museum Network. So we're really excited to bring it to Baltimore.
That's awesome. And I'm excited for, I love the whole joy theme and the joyful steps. We look forward to all that. And you know, a simple question I forgot to ask, your website so people can get started. Is that the best place for them to go?
Sure. It's www.portdiscovery.org. And everything's on there. We try to keep it up to date. And we also have a really active Instagram and TikTok right now. So all around Port Discovery. Yes.
Yeah, you really, really do. Because again, like we were saying earlier, it is very visual. And we do welcome people to join you there. And then Facebook, too, for, you know, just basic information.
All the social media.
All the stuff. Now. And you can find all the links on your website, portdiscovery.org. Gosh, it's been so much fun talking to you both. Carter Polakoff, President and CEO, and Rachel Demma, Vice President of Learning and Community Impact at Port Discovery in Baltimore. What a treasure. What cool jobs you have. Thank you for all you're doing for the community. And it's incredible. Incredible.
Well, we love it. Yeah, we really
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're really making a difference, and you can definitely see that. It's awesome. We thank you guys for listening to this production of Odyssey Baltimore.